This is Hogan's Open House on Sports, our weekly look back and look ahead at what has happened, what's coming up in local and area sports. We'll talk to the coaches. We got a full roster coming up, so we're going to get to that shortly. We have a couple of classes. Playoff football pairings have been released by the NSAA. The Nebraska State High School Activities Association has released classes A and B as the football pairings released today. Football playoffs start next Thursday and Friday. And we'll tell you about that and tell you that Adams Central will be at home next Friday in Class B. They're the eighth seed, 16 teams in B. They're seeded 1 through 16, and the higher seed gets the home game. Adams Central is the number 8 seed. They will host number 9, Gehring, next Friday night. The Patriots will be the home team. This is a rematch. These two teams played in Gehring on September 23rd, and Adams Central won at Gehring 23-20. It'll be Gehring at Adams Central next Friday night in the first round of the Class B playoffs. We do not have the official pairing yet for St. Cecilia. That has not yet been released. We're going to get a chance to talk to assistant coach Randy Ahrens, though, and maybe we'll have that finalized on who the Blue Hawks will be hosting next Thursday at Duncan Field in the first round of the Class C2 football playoffs. So we know for sure Adams Central will be home next Friday against Gehring, and St. Cecilia will be home next Thursday. That opponent has yet to be determined and released by the Activities Association. Also in Class B from the area, Aurora is the number 6 seed. They'll be hosting number 11 Norris next Friday. And in Class A, Grand Island and Kearney have both made the Class A playoffs as expected. Grand Island's the 4th seed. They'll be hosting Columbus next Friday, and Kearney will be home to Papillion La Vista next Friday. Kearney is the 7th seed. Again, A and B have been officially released. C1, C2, D1, D2 have not yet been released. If we get those, we'll pass them along to you this morning here on Hogan's Open House on Sports, and whenever we get them, we'll pass them along to you. City football last night, Adams Central beat Lexington 48-15 to end the regular season. Hastings High concluded its season with a win at Grand Island Northwest 34-28. Thursday night, St. Cecilia ended an undefeated regular season, beating Sutton 35-6 at Sutton. State cross-country meet ended up yesterday. We're going to get a chance to talk about that later on in the program, so we will we'll talk about that, the state cross-country meet coming up a little bit later in the program. In city activities, sporting activities today, Hastings College football teams at Morningside. Big GPAC game up in Sioux City. Kickoff at 1 o'clock, 12:15 pregame showtime this afternoon right here on 1230 KHAS Radio. The Nebraska football team at Minnesota, 2:30 kickoff this afternoon. 9:30, the programming started on the breeze. KLIQ-FM 94.5, the Huskers at college sports today. Northwestern at Hastings College in soccer. The men and women of Hastings College will host Northwestern. The men at 3, the women at 5. The men will try to get on another winning streak as their 39-game winning streak was broken by Baker last Tuesday. But what a tremendous run there for the Broncos. They'll try to start a new streak. They'll host Northwestern in a conference matchup at 3 this afternoon on Lloyd Wilson Field. The women will go at 5. Hastings College men's golf team scheduled to host an invite today at Lachlan Country Club here in Hastings. A little chilly for golf, but that is supposed to be underway as we speak. In volleyball, Hastings College plays at Dort in Sioux Center, Iowa this afternoon at 3 o'clock, and the Hastings College cross-country teams are at the Mount Marty Mid-States invite in Yankton, South Dakota today. In hockey, the Tri-City Storm beaten by the Indiana Ice last night. The Storm traveling to Sioux City. They'll take on the Sioux City Musketeers at 7:05 tonight. 6:45 is pregame. You can hear the Storm hockey matchup on Classic Hits. That's KKPR 98.9 tonight as we follow Storm hockey on our family of stations of Platte River Radio. Okay, that takes care of things here. We'll get you situated, and we'll talk some sports here on Hogan's Open House and Sports right after this timeout.
Hogan Sporting Goods is your store for athletic apparel. Show your big red colors. Hogan's has Husker t-shirts for men and women, long sleeve shirts and sweatshirts. There are closeout prices on the Nike Superbad football shoes and 20% off all Cutter football gloves while they last. Hogan Sporting Goods is the official headquarters for Hastings High, St. Cecilia, and Adams Central Booster Club apparel and supplies. It's all at Hogan Sporting Goods, downtown Hastings, open Monday through Saturday, Thursday nights until 8. When you look good, you play good at Hogan Sporting Goods.
Select regular price shoes. 30% off that list price and 25% off all other regular price merchandise here at Hogan's to add to our voices there. 30% off the list price on select regular price shoes, 25% off all other regular price merchandise here at Hogan's and Hogan's Sporting Goods in downtown Hastings. We're going to close up shop here this afternoon at 2:30 today. Of course, the Huskers start at 2:30, so going to close up shop here at Hogan's today at 2:30. That Husker football game will be attracting, of course, a lot of attention, so Hogan's closing today at 2:30, but you got plenty of time to take advantage of all the great buys here at Hogan's for 2:30 this afternoon, and they'll be open up again on Monday morning. Rick Rehbarger joins us, head football coach of the Hastings High Tigers. The Tigers conclude the regular season and their season last night with a win at Grand Island Northwest, 34-28. The Tigers finished 4-5 on the season. Coach, thanks for coming down. Really appreciate it. And a very nice win to end the season last night. I guess last night considered maybe your playoff game, huh?
Well, you know, it was like you could say that. I mean, we knew we had a very slim chance of making it into the playoffs. And, you know, all week we kind of talked about the great opportunity you get to play the game of football. And with 20 seniors on our football team, the coaching staff made a strong emphasis that many of you will never put the pads on again. And that's the unique thing about football. You know, you can go out and play pickup basketball games or, you know, other sports that you're involved in. You can always be involved in baseball or some type of form of baseball if it's, you know, softball, slow pitch or whatever. But you get a very limited amount of time in your life to wear pads. And we wanted to emphasize that to our seniors and to our juniors and our sophomores that we wanted to go out and give our best effort and enjoy, for many of them, their last experience in wearing pads. And you know, that's a memory that will hopefully stick with them for a lifetime. And so I was very proud of our boys' effort.
The ball club wins at 34-28, and Coach, I guess you're talking about a playoff game. I guess you wouldn't have to phrase it that way. You're playing Grand Island Northwest. That's about enough said, right?
Yeah, you know, it's something I don't understand. I guess I'm not from the area, but even when you talk to a former alum and you go way back, I mean, I think this thing goes deep in years, and I don't understand it, but there is something about Grand Island Northwest and Hastings that brings out the best in both groups, and both groups just want to win that game so bad. And I don't, you know, like I said, I don't understand it, but it's not hard to get a kid motivated to play Northwest.
And the Tigers came out on top. Tell us about this one last night, Coach. This was kind of back and forth. You get some big plays. They had some big plays, but in the end, you get a touchdown pass to go ahead in the fourth quarter and won the ball game by six. But this was must have been a kind of a fun game for the fans to watch. I'm not sure about the coaches maybe watching it, but looked like a pretty good football game.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I mentioned in a couple pregame interviews that I think it was going to be a shootout. You know, offensively, we all year have had some good numbers offensively. Sometimes we haven't had the points that we needed to get, but they're a darn good football team offensively. And I thought, you know, it was going to be a scoring contest. You know, we got fortunate on our second pass play from scrimmage that you know, it was covered up, and Tyler said he felt pressure, and so he tucked it and was able to scramble and pick up a big run, pick up a touchdown. And then so we answered their score because they scored on their first possession. And then I think we stopped them on their second possession, and we popped a trap. And I know I said in the paper we got lucky, and we kind of did get lucky. We blocked it right, but we got lucky that we were able to outrun some guys, and they overplayed our toss, and we got up the middle on them. And then we struggled a little bit in the second quarter, and I think they may have scored. Well, they got a blocked punt and scored off of that, and then they picked up another touchdown. So we went in at halftime down by seven and made some adjustments defensively. just to give them some different looks. Was able to go out and score in the first or second possession we had in the third quarter, and then I think we confused them on one look, and Patrick Opperman got a nice interception and got down to the goal line, which he's kind of disappointed. He thought he was in, and we're able to just pop a real quick sneak in there. And then, of course, we made another mistake that gave Northwest a chance to score, and we had to battle back. But had chances to seal it, didn't seal it. And then in the fourth quarter, they were out of timeouts with about 4 minutes left. And, you know, our defense bent but did not break. And, you know, Coach O and Coach Emerson and Coach White did a fantastic job, I thought, against a very high-powered offense, second in Class B in offense, and very talented offense, and just proud of our defensive effort.
And offensively, you guys put up the touchdowns, the winning one, a 25-yard pass play from Tyler Rebarger to Brady Menke in the contest. I'm sure you're very proud of all the kids, Coach, maybe especially those seniors that have been on this ball club throughout their career, and the seniors this year, but they've done everything you've asked of them this year.
Yeah, they have, you know, and I think one of the things I'm most proud of is the way they established a work ethic in the off season. They did the right things. They were in the weight room. They were coming and working hard. And I hope that our younger kids were buying into that. And I know some of them, most of them did. But we just got to continue to do that, build on those things. And, you know, we're going to have some holes to fill as a coaching staff. We were talking about it already. And I think Coach O mentioned or said it perfectly. We just got to have some kids that got to step up and you know, we'll see what happens next year.
It's kind of a roller coaster ride. What started out 2-1, dropped three in a row, got to 3-4, and then the loss last week, the loss there, and then but you end the season on a good note. That has to make the kids feel good, Coach. That 4-5 is much better than 3-6 as far as thoughts and when you talk about it. But today, kids are able to bounce back from last week's loss and end the season on a good note. But kind of a roller coaster ride, but I'm sure it was a great learning experience for the young man.
Well, I think you mentioned it right there. It was a very good learning experience, especially for our younger kids. I hope it goes into our other sports, because a lot of these kids go on and play basketball or they wrestle. And, you know, you got to respect your opponents every time you play them. You can't overlook them. You got to come to practice. You got to work hard. And you're right in the fact that there was some frustrations and some disappointments. But the other thing we talked about, too, is trying to go into the off season with a win and help in the rebuilding process and just give us some positives as we're going into the off season. And that's what I'm very happy we were able to do last night with.
And the kids who will be coming back, they'll start the off-season process, kind of participate in other sports, but others will be going with the football also. You'll get ready for another year. But this was, we hope, a learning experience. We thank you, Coach, for everything and all the coaches this year. And your guys, fun to watch, and it ended up 4-5 with a great win last night, and I'm sure that leaves everybody with a pretty good taste about things.
Yeah, and thank you for all your support, and thanks to our fans for coming up and being positive to all our games. And we'll just get back to work.
All right, Coach Rick Rebarger, thank you very much and for all your time this year. Thanks, Coach. Rick Rebarger, head football coach of the Hastings High Tigers. Tigers concluded their season last night with a win. Big win up at Grand Island Northwest, a road win, too. 34-28, the Tigers ended up at 4-5. We'll take a timeout, talk some more high school football after this on Hogan's Open House on Sports.
Hogan's Sporting Goods is your store for athletic apparel. Show your big red colors. Hogan's has Husker t-shirts for men and women, long sleeve shirts and sweatshirts. There are closeout prices on the Nike Superbad football shoes and 20% off all Cutter football gloves while they last. Hogan's Sporting Goods is the official headquarters for Hastings High, St. Cecilia, and Adams Central Booster Club apparel and supplies. It's all at Hogan's Sporting Goods, downtown Hastings, open Monday through Saturday, Thursday nights until 8. When you look good, you play good at Hogan's Sporting Goods.
Hogan's Open House on Sports. Randy Aarons joins us, assistant football coach of the St. Cecilia Blue Hawks. The Blue Hawks concluded their regular season, another undefeated regular season, 35-6 at Sutton on Thursday night. So the Blue Hawks have had a chance to get ready for the playoffs even yesterday. But a nice win on Thursday, Coach, 35-6, and a very successful season, another undefeated season. What's that, six in a row, five or six in a row, and of regular season play, and 35-6. So the ball club came out Thursday, fell behind early, but bounced right back and gained control of the game pretty quickly. Another nice win for the Blue Hawks on Thursday.
Yeah, it was, because we knew going in that Sutton had a very nice team, and they had a big running back in Reed Wiebe, and so we knew that it was going to be a challenge for us. And some people are thinking that it's blowout, but while watching them on film, we knew we'd have our hands full throughout the course of the game, and that proved true on that first drive they had. When he carried the ball 10 times and they put it in on us, and so it was one of those things. Well, is this the night where it turns on us? Are we going to be able to bounce back? And our kids showed great resiliency, and then, took that, and I think we scored the very next series, go up 7-6, and then we scored again, make it 14-6. And so it was one of those things where I think our kids handled that adversity really well by getting scored on right away, and so that may have opened their eyes a little bit and got us back up on our toes. But, what a great effort by our kids. And then, as you mentioned, to close out the regular season undefeated, that's quite an accomplishment. And, I think it's just a credit to our kids, past and present, that we've been able to do so well the past few years. And I think, if I'm correct, that that's 45 straight regular season wins for us. And at any level, that's a huge accomplishment. And any size of school that playing up, playing down, or whatever, having numbers here, numbers there, what an accomplishment it is to our kids, past and present. Hopefully that bodes well for our future, too.
Yeah, indeed. Reed Wiebe was given the football a lot, as he has been the last half of this season for the Sutton Mustang. He's a load, but your defense adjusted to things, and your defense shows a real good ability to adjust to things out there while they're playing, of course, with instructions, of course, from the coaches. But fell behind, but that's the only touchdown Sutton got in the football game. So the defense really responded, including late in the game when they kept Sutton out of the end zone when they were trying to get that one last score. The defense really played well the other night and adjusted well also.
Yeah, and you say that we adjusted well and made some adjustments at halftime, and just made some subtle adjustments, subtle changes, and switched a player from one side to the other side, and little things like that. But a lot of it just comes down with we are blessed with some ability on our team as a whole. 9 through 12, we're blessed with ability, but also determination. Our kids have great heart and desire, and that holding them out of the end zone on a goal line stand late in the game, that was as much for pride as anything, because we probably, the game was probably decided by that point. It would have made it 35-14. They had scored three touchdowns in the last 5 minutes, but I think it was just a pride factor. And then Joe Clark had made a great form tackle the goal line and stood the quarterback straight up and didn't move an inch after that. And we're talking about great players and stuff. Joe Wallmeyer had one of the best games since I've been at St. Cecilia. Our stats had him down for 20 tackles, and that's 20 tackles of the season for some kids. And Joe Wallmeyer was able to just really played well on the defensive line and defensive end. And I heard the comment was made by Mike and Jimmy on the radio that he and Reed Wiebe probably should go to prom together since they met so much on the field that night. And and what a great testament to a kid that works hard and plays hard and does things the right way. And Joe had the 20 tackles, which is just amazing for us.
You get into time, and the Blue Hawks will be in the playoffs starting next Thursday. If you're playing well defensively and can play well defensively, you're going to be in any playoff game, no matter who the competition is, aren't you, Coach? Because you figure your offense is going to be okay, but sometimes offenses can get stalled. But if you can play good defense, you always give yourself an opportunity to win, don't you?
Yeah, the proverbial saying that defense wins championships. I don't know. I'm not sure that necessarily holds true, because you got to outscore someone at some point.
True.
But, Coach Desmer does a great job with, teaching us and, telling us what is expected and how we're going to make changes and adjustments. But I really think that we've faced, a lot of diversity on offense throughout the course of the year, from the power running game like we saw last week to spread offenses like 2 weeks before that to the Kearney Catholics stuff at the beginning of the season, that I think our kids will feel comfortable and confident in making changes, making plays, regardless of what offense we're going against. And then I think offensively we've done enough that we can find some weaknesses and take advantage of our strengths throughout the course of a game also.
Do you think Coach Tesmer has been pleased with the fact that he's been telling us all season long we need to polish, we need to continue to make this better because we have the people that can do it? I think he's pretty happy with things where they stand right now. Is this season 8-0, so the regular season's over? Has it been a good progression leading to where you want to finally end up?
I would believe so, and it's just one of those things that you know, every team needs to progress at this point in the season,
sure,
because if you're not progressing, you're moving backwards, you know, is what they say. And, you know, it's one and done now. And so I think for all schools that are in the playoffs, the intensity levels up, the concentration levels up, the excitement is up, because, you know, there is season-ending pressure on kids that people don't realize, because the finality of things, you know, really hits home when you have, this is it, one last game, you know, and something like that. So I really think the focus and concentration will be at a high level coming up in the next few games here.
The playoffs begin next Thursday for St. Cecilia. They will be at home, and I would have asked Coach Ahrens right off the top if he'd known who they're going to play, and we would have discussed that off the top of the bat here. But we do not know yet officially. Coach Ahrens does not, and neither does St. Cecilia. That should be released any time. But they will be at home next Thursday, and just got to wait and see who it is and start working on that game on Thursday, right?
Yes, and you know, you say that potentially people have, you know, you count the numbers and count the teams and the point standings, this and that. Potentially, unofficially, we'd be looking at possibly Bayard playing, coming to Hastings next Thursday, and that's a team that we played last year. And so, you know, that really helps us, because we hadn't seen a passing game like Bayard had. You know, I think they threw it 60 times against us last year. And so, you know, at least we'll have a feeling of what they do and things that they're trying to do more so than we did last year, because it's something that their offense we really couldn't simulate in the practice. And, you know, if that is the case, we're excited, and we're excited to be in the playoffs again. And so we'll just have to wait and see until they release him from the NSA. And they may have done that already at this point.
And we're getting the word not yet for C's, for the C's and D's. The A's and B's were released earlier. We're going to talk about those B pairings in just a little bit. Okay, Coach, we need to ask you also, late in that football game, an injury to Phil Hamburg, quarterback, and safety. Jackson Siminski is also injured in the ball game. How are they now? Of course, everybody wants to know what their status is. And, of course, two big cogs in the St. Cecilia side of things. What's the word this morning?
Well, you're saying everybody. I don't know how many people listen to you, Blaine, in the mornings. But
thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Coach.
But, then, to be honest, I don't know with either one. I didn't see either one of them yesterday. And so, you know, Jackson said that, you know, his knee may have slipped out or a kneecap or something, but that's happened to him before. So he was pretty confident after the game that he'll be okay. So, like I said, we haven't heard on Phil's status yet, and so it's just hopefully day-to-day, maybe a week or so, but it's hard to tell without knowing or having talked to either Phil or his family or, you know, a physical therapist or doctor. So, you know, in the short term, we're hoping the best for both kids, and we're hoping the best for everybody at this point in the season.
Exactly.
Because, you know, not only does an injury affect in the short term teams now, but in the long term it affects, you know, the sports that follow these seasons. And so you just hate to see anything like that, especially from good kids, especially out of good kids and good competitors, and, you know, and when you're having a successful season. So we're just going to hope that hope for the best on both of those guys at this point.
And see what happens to come Monday in practice and later this morning on who you're playing. Try to get some more information, I'm sure, some film and so on and so forth from your opponent, and we'll find out the exact time probably on Monday after Mr. Ahrens gets that worked out with the opponent's activities director. So we'll pass that along to you. But yes, as Coach said, let's hope everybody's healthy and everybody gets out there and plays, because this is a great experience for these kids. You know, it's part of the high school experience, so hopefully everybody will be healthy and be able to play throughout these playoffs from everybody. Coach, thanks for coming down. We're going to have a chance to talk, I know, down the road, hopefully for a good while yet on this football season. And thanks for your time today and all season long, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Thanks, and thanks for having us each week.
Randy Ahrens, assistant football coach of the St. Cecilia Blue Hawks. They came off the regular season 35-6 victory over Sutton, and the 8-0 regular season. They'll be in the playoffs hosting someone next Thursday at Duncan Field. We'll find out who and what time and all that's worked out, and certainly pass it along to you. We'll take a timeout, talk some state cross country after this on Hogan's Open House on Sports.
Hogan's Sporting Goods is your store for athletic apparel. Show your big red colors. Hogan's has Husker t-shirts for men and women, long sleeve shirts and sweatshirts. There are closeout prices on the Nike Superbad football shoes and 20% off all Cutter football gloves while they last. Hogan's Sporting Goods is the official headquarters for Hastings Eye, St. Cecilia, and Adams Central Booster Club apparel and supplies. It's all at Hogan's Sporting Goods, downtown Hastings, open Monday through Saturday, Thursday nights until 8. When you look good, you play good at Hogan's Sporting Goods.
Hogan's Open House on Sports. I also want to add to what Brad Beam just told you about Hogan's Sporting Goods, 30% off the list price right now at Hogan's on select regular priced shoes. It's the fall clearance here at Hogan's Sporting Goods. Also 25% off all other regular price merchandise. here at Hogan's Sporting Goods in downtown Hastings. That's the fall clearance sale also going on now. And Hogan's closing at 2:30 this afternoon. That just happens to be the time the Nebraska game kicks off up in Minnesota. But Hogan's closing a bit early today at 2:30 this afternoon. Talk about the playoffs, and we're going to talk the Class B playoffs in just a little bit with Bill Carlin of Adams Central. The Adams Central Patriots will be at home next Friday against Gehring in the first round of the playoffs. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit. But we got to talk about the kids, cross-country kids for the local and area flavor here. Of Scott Rosno, co-head cross-country coach for the Hastings High boys and girls. The state cross-country meet was run yesterday. Hastings High sent four athletes to that meet. Class B, and a medal for our sophomore Marika Van Brocklin, her second at the state cross-country meet. She finished seventh, and Maureen Boyd finished 58th there for Hastings High in that race in Class B. On boys' side, Michael Storm was 38th. Ryan Graylish, we got you there, Ryan, 57th there for the Hastings High boys as they compete, those four athletes for Hastings High, and had a number of other athletes we'll talk about from the city there. But state cross-country meet, Coach, what about Marika and Mo and Michael and Ryan? Think they had good runs yesterday, concluding what was a good season for all of them and the Hastings High cross-country teams. How'd they do yesterday?
Blaine, I thought you hit that on the head exactly. You know, you kind of mentioned the fact of a solid season and just an opportunity to have another good run yesterday, and they did. So just appreciate that recognition for them as far as their entire season. Kind of start off with Marika. Had she not medaled yesterday, it would not have taken away from an excellent season. She ran for 3,950 meters, well better than she did a year ago. Those final 50 meters, the legs kind of bugabooed on her, and frustrating. It's like anyone out there that's ever had a dream where you're wanting to run and the legs don't move, well, that's kind of how she fell into that mode. You know, and a lot of that is just the fact that she exerted herself at different points of the course to put her in that position. She successfully has run two state meets and put herself in position to get two state medals. She's just had a good early career for us, and it's very deserved. There's no accident as to why she runs well. She's got some talent, but then she just capitalizes on that with the work that she puts in. She's able to bring a teammate along this year. Mo Boyd ran in her first state meet. Mo ran actually a 17 minutes and 13 seconds, which actually puts her as the 12th fastest girl that we've ever had run at the state course. And six of those top 12 belong to Shauna Jones and Marika Van Brocklin. So Mo's in pretty good company there with what she did as a performance yesterday. Mo, I think, was a little bit more nervous in the idea of, you know, how good is this competition? Well, you know, you kind of got to shake a kid and say, this competition is what you've seen all year. When we run at Pioneers Park to see the Class A schools, and we run at conference meet and we see the likes of Lexington and Scotts Bluff, and then we run at districts where we see Lexington and Holdridge. You know, she's seen those kids. She finished a solid top 60, just like Marika's performance, where four of the girls out of our district actually finished in the top seven. So, you know, those kids had seen that competition. I just thought that they did an outstanding job of running comparable of what types of times that they can.
On the boys' side of things, Michael Storm was 38th, Ryan Graylish 57th. Scotts Bluff won the team title on the boys, and Lincoln Pius on the girls' side. But the Tigers get some good performances out of Michael and Ryan there in just about the top half of things. Michael was, and Ryan down there at 57th. And that's, say, down there, that's who cares? That's, you know, he finished 57th and ran a pretty good race and against some great competition. So I'm sure they're both very happy with things, too.
Well, exactly. So Michael Storm, our young German man that come over across the pond, had a very good season. This is a kid that wanted to try and help out the football team and early on realized that wasn't necessarily a sport for him. And so he moved over to work with the cross-country program, ran JV early in the year. And eventually, as he started to pick up the sport from his American friends now, really started to get stronger and stronger. He had this was the third fastest race that he has run this year. And so, you know, it's always nice when you can hang your hat on a race that you know what, I ran the best I could. It was you know, something I could know that I ran different portions of the course the way that it was designed to be ran. He had a 38th place finish, and so it put him in the top half of the entire crew. Ryan Graylish, a young man that just ran for us for 2 years, and folks kind of got to know out there that, Ryan's a patient guy. Ryan doesn't necessarily get too intense with things. Ryan, in the 2 years that he ran, has one medal to lay out in front for people to see. Well, that one medal happens to be a district medal. And so that is the ticket that he was able to punch to get himself to the state meet. Ryan ran the second fastest race of his career, and so that's kind of the way you want to be able to see kids put their season away. Really pleased to have had both of them be a part of what our boys have done this year.
Okay, Coach, I want to ask you about something in today's paper. Our Tribune, Marika Van Brocken quoting, I believe Marika said, "I wanted to come here and have fun and run, and if I don't win a medal, that's okay. I just want to come and run." You know, deep down, though, Marika, tell me, deep down, she wanted to win a medal yesterday, didn't she? I mean, she wanted to do her best. It's a great attitude, and the attitude you have to have. But I think Marika was, you know, I think she kind of funning us a little bit, wasn't she? She wanted to win a medal, didn't she?
I wouldn't say it was any conversation that Coach James or myself had with her as far as, you know, just the fun part. But I will say a lot of our kids, that is fun for them.
Well,
is
yes.
The idea of competing. Now, you know, you're right in the fact that if anyone knows her at all, she does like to compete. I don't care if she's playing soccer or, you know, tag anything. Marika's going to compete. And so it's a situation where, you know, I think she knows that when you're competing at that high of a level, you know, things can happen. You know, things can happen that maybe are a little out of your control or don't quite go right. And so I think she's a realist in the understanding that, you know, she did want to come out and compete to run her best race. And, you know, she was only 2 seconds off of last year's time. And so that's why I say through the first 39.50, she was actually faster than she was a year ago. So courageously, she found a way to finish through the end. And, again, it's, you know, nice to have her as a sophomore and Mo as a junior, that both of those two will be back next year for us again.
Indeed so, and two medals now for Marika at the state meet, and a good performance there. And all season long, Coach, two good teams. You had two good teams. You had a lot of kids out. And I'm sure they learned a lot about this sport, learned a lot about other things, I'm sure, through this season. But this was a good cross-country season for the Hastings High boys and girls. I know you and Coach James have to be plenty happy about things.
Well, you know, and that's the thing with this sport is that you know, I've never come across a season where I am, you know, totally excited to see a season end, to see, you know, things close up. But the thing that a person can be happy about is that the season took place. You know, this is a group of seniors that definitely left the program better than what they found it. You know, we will have one senior that will finish 4 years of running. That's Holly James. You know, I know that's going to be an emotional aspect for Coach James,
sure,
and his daughter to close up that chapter. But, you know, this is a girl that for 2 years ran varsity for us, and then we picked up a few more runners. And although she was probably about our ninth girl this year, she actually ran faster times than she ever had in her career. And so that's just a credit to the kids in not getting caught up in where they're at, but just giving the best effort they can.
Indeed. So it was a good season. We've talked with Coach Rosno all season long, and I know it's been a great advancement for these kids. I hope they had fun and in a tough sport and learned a lot. And congratulations to the four that made state and to all the members of the team this year, Coach. And thanks to you and Coach James for all your help in coming down and talking about these kids. And now they can start getting ready for next year, those that will be back, right? And thanks for your time all season.
Thank you, Blaine. Appreciate KHS having us down here.
Scott Rosno, co-head cross-country coach for the Hastings High boys and girls. Let's talk to whoever's next, Coach Carlin or Coach Cooney. Coach Carlin's going to step in here as Coach Bill Carlin of the Adams Central Patriots comes in to talk. We did receive the Class C2 football playoff pairings, and Coach Aaron's, and the speculation was correct. Hastings St. Cecilia is the number one seed in the West. C1, C2, D1, and D2 have 32 teams. They have two 16-team brackets, East and West, on geographic location, and one plays 16, 2 and 15, so on and so forth. St. Cecilia is the number one seed in the West. They will be taking on Bayard. Bayard was 4-4 on the season. They'll come to Duncan Field next Thursday
And it'll be St. Cecilia's first-round opponent. If St. Cecilia can win that one, they'll play the winner of West Holt and Cross County in the second round on Wednesday, November the 2nd. So it will be St. Cecilia and Bayard next Thursday. We'll get the time of that one and when that is finalized on Monday. We're just looking down quickly whoever else we got in Class C2 making the field. Sutton will play at Cambridge next Thursday. The Sutton Mustangs are in. Donovan Trumbull will be on the road at North Platte St. Patrick's. Tough assignment there for the Cardinals as Ravenna will take on Blue Hill. That'll be a rematch from just the other night. That'll be at Ravenna on Thursday. Ravenna and Blue Hill. Thayer Central will go to Kearney Catholic on Thursday. So we've got some area teams involved in the lower part of that bracket in St. Cecilia's part of the bracket. But the Blue Hawks will take on Bayard next Thursday at Duncan Field. The Adams Central Patriots will be taking on Garing in a regular season rematch over, well, it'll be a Patriots field at the Hastings College. At Hastings College, I would imagine. The Patriots and Garing next Friday in the first round of the B playoffs. Adams Central ends the regular season 48-15 win over Lexington last night to go to 6-3. First of all, Coach, your thoughts on last night's game. It was just a great effort by your kids against a good ball club, Lexington. They provide a lot of problems to a team, especially defensively and offensively, too, as far as that goes. But good effort by your kids that kind of gained control of the game and got them throughout them. But a good job by your kids.
Yeah, it was a really physical ball game. There's a lot of hard hits and guys really getting knocked around and stuff out there. But our kids, I thought, played very well. And I thought defensively we adjusted as the game went on. We knew we couldn't take everything away from them, but we wanted to take away most of the big plays. And we only gave up one of those, which we probably had a breakdown a little bit there. But otherwise, we did a good job of making them work for all their yards. And we were going to make them dink and dunk us. And when the field got shorter, we thought we could defend it a little easier. And so I thought our defense did a great job. And that's the result of my assistant coaches. Sean Mulligan does a great job with our defense. And my other assistants, Jeremy Hotelli and Whitney Reitzel and Josh Lewis and Evan Smith, do a great job in getting our kids prepared. So I thought they just did a nice job. And then offensively, I thought, you know, we set the tempo early with getting our running game started. And then that opened up some passing later on, and we were able to capitalize.
Yeah, very effective offensively throwing the football and running it too, and utilizing the talent that you have to score. What the six, seven touchdowns in the football game? A good stand right out of the gate defensively. Three and out for Lexington. Then you get the football and all running plays go down and score. So you kind of set the tone. You kind of wanted to take control early, and you did to kind of put that Lexington passing game in a slower mode. But right from the gate, your guys came out and got control of the game.
Yeah, and that was our real goal. We kind of thought that we've started sluggish the last few weeks, and our goal was to get out of the gate early and establish our running game. And I thought our kids did a nice job of doing that and really got physical up front and was owning the line of scrimmage. And we were getting 4 or 5 yards at a time. We weren't getting big runs, but we were getting enough to keep getting first downs. And, you know, we took about a 12 or 14-play drive to go 65 yards and scored and took 6 minutes off the clock. So that was 6 minutes our defense was resting, and so that was an important part for us.
The ball club had the 7-0 lead. It goes to 7-3. It goes then to 14-9 in the second quarter, and then a flurry of touchdowns in the final 4 minutes and 19 seconds of the first half. Three by the Patriots, and I believe about a minute and 30 seconds. One of which you recover a kickoff that Lexington does not get on, and you recover that and score. Score after an interception, and then. Scored a previous touchdown. So you had three scores in about a minute and a half, Coach. Very key part of the football game. Your guys really took advantage of those opportunities, didn't they?
Yeah, it probably decided the game right there a little bit. And the fact that we just got some great opportunities and we capitalized, and I thought we executed really well. The first play where we scored on a one when Ryan Bruna had a nice counter play and had blocked very, very well. And then Ryan made a nice cut and followed his blocks and got into the end zone. And then we had a couple pass plays that were deep and threw the ball well, protected our quarterback well, and gave us the opportunity there. So, you know, they just did some good things there at that time of the game that really gave us some cushion.
We talked about in the postgame show special teams play was really good. One, of course, recovering that kickoff that Lexington didn't get on, and I believe Derek Lanowski got on that. And then the next play was the touchdown run by Bruna as part of that flurry. He had a 34-15 lead at halftime. defensively, give up no points in the second half, Coach. Make some adjustments as Lexington scored with 7 seconds to go. Had to make a few adjustments maybe at halftime, but you shut them out the second half.
Yeah, we made a few things, but the main thing we talked about was getting lined up and getting properly lined up. We had some kids that we had some check calls that we didn't quite get lined up proper, and just a yard here and there makes a huge difference with a receiver running down the seam or not. And so, we have our kids, they're pretty responsible for a lot of things on the field, and we try to drill it over and over and over, but there's times we need to just keep reminding them of where they need to be and get to their spots. And so, I thought the second half we adjusted pretty well and took some things away, but I also thought, you know, Lexington probably deserves some credit for some of the things they did early. They got some very skilled kids.
They do indeed, and then, you know, as far as lining up properly defensively, sometimes you don't have much time against Lexington because they don't go in the huddle. They call the play at the line of scrimmage, and they're ready to go. So sometimes maybe you can be out of position. That's due to their offensive hurry up here. But you say make the second half adjustments, and you did, and shut them out and tack on a couple scores. And so overall, defensively, it was a good football game for your guys.
Yeah, it really was. I was pleased. We had some kids that had to step up from our depth and come in and play a little bit more than maybe they normally do. We had a couple kids get sprained ankle, and we had one kid battling the flu, and Kyle Cutterford just showed, I thought, great courage out there that he was fighting the flu a little bit but still wanted to try to go, and he just showed a lot of resolve. There's not too many kids that would have played like he did, being as sick as he was. And then, he's just one of those kind of kids. He just gives it all up for the team, and we're very fortunate to have him.
Indeed. So I was wondering why I saw Kyle on the sidelines up there as he was having his Gatorade and having a little apple before the game. So I was wondering maybe if he was eating that apple late in the contest. He was trying to get some strength back and some energy, I guess. But he performed very well in his fullback position and linebacker. Of course, he's been a force, especially defensively this year. And it's the kind of thing you like to see out of your leaders and seniors, don't you? They're showing that leadership, aren't they, Coach?
He really did, and he's kind of like our defensive quarterback. He gets us lined up. He makes our check calls and does a lot of things to get our defense in the right position, and he's really a smart kid on that side of the ball. He does a great job, and so some of those other kids had to assume some of that leadership, and they really haven't had to do that, and that's been something we kind of preach and practice, that somebody else has to know what's going on besides Kyle. What if he gets hurt? And it kind of came to fruition there that Kyle wasn't able to go all the time, and the other guys had to step up. So, you know, it's kind of a growing process, too. Those guys aren't quite used to taking the leadership role, and they had to.
This ball club, as we started the season way back in August, ball club with only three guys that had a lot of varsity experience, and as we talked on the pregame show yesterday, these guys, I'm sure, have grown up quite a bit. They gained a lot of experience, 6-3, and as we talked on the postgame show last time, I'm sure you and the coaches are very, very proud of these guys to get the point where they are and be hosting a playoff game on Friday. But this has really been a growing process and a lot of experience gained by these young men, right?
Yeah, it really has been. It's been a group that just continues to surprise everybody, and everybody tells them they can't and they won't listen. And so they just keep plugging along. They're kind of a blue-collar group that shows up and kind of works hard and does their best, and then it's time to go on and move on. And so it's a fun group to be with. They do a lot of good things, and they keep it in perspective. They don't get too big-headed, and they know they got to keep working at it, and they know that everything that we do is not going to come easy for us, but we're going to work at it, and so this group has learned that hard work does pay off, and I think that'll take them a long ways besides just on the football field.
And I know that they're hard work, and they know for sure that it paid off. Now officially knowing that the Patriots are in the B playoffs, and they expected to be even before the game, but knowing they played well, they're in the playoffs. Gehring will come to Adams Central next Friday night, first round of the Class B playoffs. Patriots are the eighth seed. Gehring is number nine. This is a rematch. Adams Central traveled the 300 miles out to Gehring back on September 23rd and won 23-20. So a long trip, but a nice win on the road. Now Gehring will get to make the trip. That's one good thing about this coming weekend, isn't it, Coach? You'll get to be at home.
There's nothing like an old bus trip all the way to the Panhandle.
Yeah, there
really
you go.
It makes your back hurt. No, we're very happy to be home and let Gehring make that trip. And I got to thank Coach Rebarger for those guys winning last night, because that gave us five more points on our playoff points. And, that kept us from being the number 10 seed. So we would have been either going to Scotts Bluff or Aurora had they not won. So we thank him for keeping us on the home turf. And we're excited to play Garion again there. We were very evenly matched. Neither team could have won that ball game the first time we played. And so we know we're going to have our hands full. They're a very gifted team, got some very good athletes. And we'll prepare for them just like we do everybody and get out there and give it our best shot.
Yeah, that was a ball game that the Patriots were up 23-13, and Garing scores in the fourth quarter and then drove down late in the game. But the Patriots' defense tightened up there, and the Patriots went on to win it 23-20. So we'll have a chance to talk more about that one this coming week, Coach. But Garing will come to town next Friday, and I guess that ball game, if it can work out, will be over at Hastings College. What do you think right at this moment?
Well, we're waiting. Everybody with the college is off with the football team. Yep. In Iowa right now, and so a decision will be made on Monday where that's going to be played and the time frame. I know Hastings College has Doan here next Saturday, so I'm going to be sure we have to work around their practice schedule a little bit and see what all the schedule is there. But we know it's going to be in town, whether it's at Adams Central or at the college, will yet to be decided.
We'll find a place. We'll play them out in cornfield somewhere. The harvest is rolling along, Coach, but it'll be Garing and Adams Central that the first round of the playoffs next Friday. And Coach, get them ready. Hope everybody's is healthy, ready to go, and I'm sure we'll have a good week of practice, and we'll talk to you next week and see what happens in the playoffs. But congratulations, especially to the guys making the playoffs, and good luck in them. Thank you.
Well, thanks a lot, Blaine, and thanks for all you guys do.
You bet. Bill Cardin, head football coach of the Adams Central Patriots. The Patriots in the playoffs starting next Friday in Class B. They'll host Garing. We'll get the location and the time when that's worked out on Monday or early next week and pass that along to you. We're going to take our final timeout, but we still got some cross country to talk about after this timeout on Hogan's Open House on Sports.
Hogan's Sporting Goods is your store for athletic apparel. Show your big red colors. Hogan's has Husker t-shirts for men and women, long sleeve shirts and sweatshirts. There are closeout prices on the Nike Superbad football shoes and 20% off all Cutter football gloves while they last. Hogan's Sporting Goods is the official headquarters for Hastings High, St. Cecilia, and Adams Central Booster Club apparel and supplies. It's all at Hogan's Sporting Goods, downtown Hastings, open Monday through Saturday, Thursday nights until 8. When you look good, you play good at Hogan's Sporting Goods.
Okay, welcome back. Our final segment here, Chris Cooney's the head cross-country coach of the St. Cecilia boys and girls. And, of course, the St. Cecilia boys and girls, they had some representatives over at the state cross-country meet on yesterday. We'll tell you, Jordan Pacheba comes home with a medal in Class D boys race, finished third this year, did the senior Jordan, and we'll get Coach's reaction to that there, and Jordan's too. He finishes third there. Niles Erling, the junior, finished 46th on the boys' side in Class D as he represented St. Cecilia. On the girls' side, Tess Wallmeyer goes for the St. Cecilia girls. She finished 76th in that race yesterday in Class D. Okay, Coach, tell us about yesterday for Jordan, Niles, and Lexi. I know Jordan going over there, you were hoping and probably expecting him to win a medal, but that state competition is so tough and so grueling. But he got the third place finish. And tell us about his day and Niles and Tess's day at state cross country.
Okay, Jordan. The weather was ideal for spectators. It wasn't so great for competitors.
A little warm there.
And Jordan, he was running sixth through the entire race, and he just he surprised the heck out of everybody because there's a little hill you can't see around, and he goes into that sixth and he comes out of that third. And when he was going in, I didn't think he had enough to pull that out, and boy, he looked good when he finished and improved his time a little bit. And it was a good race for him, very good race. And Niles, same thing. Niles improved his time, did a little better this year than he had done last year and at the UNK invite. And Tessa's first year in cross country and making it to state, and took another minute off her time. I mean, it's just a fantastic experience for a first-time runner there with that, in spite of the weather and everything. But, yeah, we had a very good day for all of the runners.
Yeah, you talk about Jordan being the senior, and, you know, he's been there before. He's been at the top in every race, just about every race this season. So maybe he had a little more pressure on himself. I'm sure Niles and Tess,
you know, getting into the state from the district, they probably were pretty relaxed. You're going to have some fun. You know, we're going to just have some fun and do this. And Jordan probably had a little more pressure on himself yesterday because he was expecting to go there and do well.
Yes, and that's true. You know, and he's been there, and he wanted to improve his time. He wanted to improve his medal status there and go out well, you know, represent and end the season well. And he did that. He accomplished that. And in spite of the weather, he really just did not look real great running. He just didn't look like he was real strong. Maybe he wasn't as relaxed. I'm not really sure. But like I said, the last 200 meters, boy, he dug deep and just really, really came through. I mean, I think that's just the mental part of it, was he knew what he wanted to do, and he just, his mind over matter, and he just made himself do it. And he was very pleased with his performance.
It's a fascinating thing about sports and athletics. You just can't tell from race to race, game to game, you know, how maybe a person's going to feel or what's going on mentally or the weather conditions or this and that. It's a fascinating thing about it. You just have to go with where you are that particular day. And some days it's just not clicking, is it? But most days for Jordan it has. But you say he maybe not feeling the best as far as the way he ran, but third place is not bad.
No, third place is not bad at all. He had some very good competition, and he ran well, and he performed well. And really the same for Niles. Niles has been there a few times, and, yeah, he knew what he wanted to do. He wanted to improve his time. He wanted to run better. And, you know, he always wants to do a little better, but I think he was satisfied with what he accomplished. And Tess didn't even know what to expect there. Like I said, it really, for Tess, I can't say enough about how just hard work and just working through everything. You know, she was new to cross country and had no idea how far it was even to run. And then here she is at state and did a very respectable appearance there. I mean, she ran a good race and finished in the middle of the pack.
Yeah, it's certainly, it doesn't really matter where they finish for Tessa and Niles and Jordan, well, for any of the kids. You know, you're at the state meet, and that in itself is a tremendous accomplishment. I'm sure Tess and Niles have been there before, and Jordan too, but Tess, first time there, it is a spectacle, isn't it? The state meet's a spectacle. There's a lot of color, and there's a lot of people, and there's a lot of excitement, and people are running all over the place, not just the kids. The people watching the races are running back and forth, so it's an exciting time, but Tess, she obviously took that all in yesterday.
Oh, yeah, and like I said, we were very pleased with how everything went out. Jordan was glad to end the season the way he did. As in all things, when it's done, they're already, I mean, they check this off, and they're already thinking about what's coming next.
Yeah, over the entire season, in fact, not just Jordan and Niles and Tess, they made it to the state. But a good season for your kids, Coach. I know numbers were down a little bit maybe for on the girls' side and the boys' side too, but for everybody that participated, good season, and you had some good performances and a good job by all your kids.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, when we think about the our district, we were fourth in our district by points, know.
Sure.
So we have had good competition the whole time in – this just opens up a little window that says, you know, maybe next year we'll work just a little harder. But they have nothing to be ashamed of. They had a great season. All of the kids ran well. They improved their times. It was overall good year for us.
We better mention maybe Coach by name, and we remember them all here. Your seniors that concluded their cross country career at St. Cecilia. Of course, Jordan, and he looks like he wants to go on and run in college. But
Harry McMahon is a senior on the boys' side, and Jamie Williams has been a runner since junior high. Finished her season there this year. We have a couple of juniors there. Niles is a junior, and John Reining and Brooke Jacoby are our juniors. And then we have sophomores, Tess Wallmeyer and Seth White and Aaron Hamburger and Jackson Van Skyver are the sophomores that we have. And we had no freshmen this year, but We're going to look around for some freshmen.
You got a good base there with the juniors and sophomores who are coming back next year with only the three seniors, Coach. But they all do the job this year, and congrats to all the kids and to Jordan and Niles and Tess for going to the state meet, and Jordan for getting that medal, finishing a third yesterday, and to all the kids. And congrats to them. Thank you for coming down, Coach. You were able to make it down few times this year, and congrats to the kids on the season, and thank you very much for all your time.
Thank you for covering us.
You bet. Chris Cooney, cross-country coach for the St. Cecilia boys and girls. Again, Jordan Pacheba finished third there yesterday in Class D in the boys' race, and congrats to Jordan and to Niles Erling and Tess Walmar for competing there in Class D for St. Cecilia. Also in Class D, we'll mention a medal for freshman Lexi Hoffman of Donovan Trumbull. She was 14th in that race in Class D. And Class D boys, Lane Tibbs of Kennesaw finished 33rd. He's only a sophomore. And freshman Jace Cranow from Blue Hill on the boys' side finished 67th. So that freshman competes at the state meet there. The Adams Central athletes competed in Class C at the state cross-country meet. The Adams Central girls went as a team and finished 11th as a team. The only team going from Hastings. Adams Central girls were 11th as a team. Brielle DeBust, the sophomore, finished 28th, the top individual performer for Adams Central. Emily Boniface was 43rd. She's a junior. Courtney Cuttiford finished 64th. She's a sophomore. Abby Shippen, the sophomore, finished 66th. Kaylee Rader finished 81st. She's a junior. And Mariah Everhart was 90th. She is a freshman. All six of those run for Adams Central. They finished 11th as a team, and as you may have noticed, none of those young ladies are seniors. They will all be back if they choose to next year in cross country for the Adams Central girls. Adams Central senior Christian Berry finished 43rd on the boys' side of things as he competed for Adams Central at the state cross country meet. So the state and the cross country season over now for this year. We're down to the football playoffs starting next week in fall sports. The volleyball sub-districts and districts will start a week from this coming week, the week after next, on the 31st of October, and we'll go that week in the state volleyball tournament. The state football playoffs still to come. Now we've got here are the pairings as we have them so far for our area teams. In Class B, Adams Central is the 8th seed. They'll be hosting 9th-seeded Gehring next Friday. And that game will probably be played at Hastings College, but that is still to be determined, and the time is still to be determined. Aurora also in there in Class B. They'll be home to Norris. In Class A, Grand Island and Kearney have both qualified. They will both be at home next Friday. Classes C1 and C2 and D1 and D2 will be having their first-round playoffs on Thursday night. Now, the St. Cecilia Blue Hawks are the number one seed in the 16-team Western bracket of Class C2. 32 teams qualify in Classes C and D. Two 16-team brackets. St. Cecilia, number one in the Western bracket. They'll be hosting the 16th seed, Bayard. This is a team that St. Cecilia played last year. They have a tremendous passing game at Bayard, and so the St. Cecilia defense will be tested on Thursday as they will host Bayard in the Class C2 football playoffs. Sutton also makes it in C2. They'll be going to Cambridge. Donovan Trumbull has a tough assignment going to North Platte St. Patrick's. They're down there in C2. Blue Hill and Ravenna will have a rematch coming up at Ravenna on Thursday. Ravenna and Blue Hill from earlier in the season. That was earlier in the season, not just a couple of nights ago, but they played earlier. Ravenna will be taking on Blue Hill in the first round, and Kearney Catholic will host Thayer Central from the area also in C2. All of those teams in the western part of the bracket. Aquinas Catholic is the number one seed in the eastern part of Class C2. Class C1 brackets are out. St. Paul will be a home team on Thursday against Shadron. The number one seed in the east there is Norfolk Catholic. Grand Island Central Catholic will be going to Pierce on Thursday in C1. The Minden Whippets will be home on Thursday to Central City. The Whippets are the number three seed in the west. That would be the western part of the bracket. This is the west. Norfolk Catholic number one in the western part of the bracket. And Minden will be home to Central City on Thursday. So the Whippets and Central City on Thursday. Sandy Creek will be home on Thursday against Gothenburg. Sandy Creek Cougars 6-2 on the season. will be the number 7 seed. They'll be hosting Gothenburg on Thursday in the Class C1 playoffs, so a home game for Sandy Creek on Thursday. And all of our area teams pretty much in that western part of the bracket. Bishop Newman is the number 1 seed in the eastern part of the C1 brackets. We do not have, as of yet, the D1 or D2 brackets, but we're going to see Kennesaw in there as a top seed the way it looks. Giltner will be in there in D2 and other area teams also. But Adams Central, home to Gehring on Friday. Time to be determined. Site to be determined. St. Cecilia home on Thursday against Bayard at Duncan Field. Time to be determined. We'll pass those times and the other pairings along to you when we get them, and we'll give you our broadcast schedules. We follow our local and area teams throughout the playoffs on our family of stations, Platte River Radio. That broadcast schedule will be worked out this weekend. We'll let you know that first thing Monday morning, I am sure, if not before. Hastings College football at Morningside this afternoon here on 1230 KHAS Radio. 1 o'clock kickoff, 12:15 pregame showtime. The Broncos at Morningside. Listen to Mike Will and Jimmy Purcell at 12:15 this afternoon. Nebraska football at Minnesota this afternoon. 2:30 is kickoff time. The pregame activity underway on Platte River Radio's The Breeze, KLIQ FM 94.5. Storm hockey tonight at Sioux City on Classic Hits 98.9 KKPR FM. 6:45 pregame, 7:05 first face off the Storm at the Sioux City Musketeers. And college volleyball for you tonight on 1230 KHAS Radio right here. The number 1 ranked Illinois volleyball team. Illinois is number 1 in the nation, and they're playing at Nebraska tonight. So a big one for the Huskers and the Illini. 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock first serve. That volleyball matchup right here on 1230 KHAS Radio tonight beginning at 6:30. You can hear Game 3 of the World Series tonight on the ESPN Superstation, 1550 KICS Hastings, 1460 KXPN Kearney. World Series Game number 3 tonight, St. Louis at Texas, the Cardinals at the Rangers. Game 4 will be tomorrow night, Game 5 Monday night. You can follow that World Series on the ESPN Superstation. So we got it covered. Football, hockey, volleyball, baseball. Listen to Platte River Radio. Hastings College football at 12:15 this afternoon right here on 1230 KHAS Radio. And that will do it for Hogan's Open House on sports at Hogan's Sporting Goods. Remember, closing at 2:30 this afternoon. That's Nebraska kickoff time, and Hogan's going to close things up here today at 2:30 this afternoon. But come in and take advantage of the fall clearance sale that's going on right now here at Hogan's Sporting Goods in downtown Hastings. That will do it for Hogan's Open House on sports. So thank you for listening here on 1230 KHAS Radio in Hastings, Nebraska. For producer-engineer Stephanie Mueller, I'm Blaine Bulis. Have a great rest of the weekend.
This has been Hogan's Open House on Sports, brought to you by Hogan's Sporting Goods, screen printing, engraving, trophies, and medals in downtown Hastings. Join us next Saturday morning at 10:06 for Hogan's Open House on Sports, right here on 1230 KHAS Radio and streaming online at hastingslink.com.
What's this on your desk?
My iPad.
It's a cafeteria tray with an old cell phone.